And so, you know, we've spent last week really kind of trucking through verses 11 through 13 and laying some biblical foundation of what does it mean to be the saints who do the work of the ministry for the building up of the body, for the maturity of one another, becoming to the fullness, the stature, the measure of Christ. And today, just kind of getting a little bit more deep into, okay, what does maturity look like? What does it mean to grow in Christ's likeness? And then what are the consequences of that? So aims kind of to lay some of the biblical foundation so that we can talk practically about, okay, what does this look like for us? 2024, Great Tennessee, a real church. Said this last week, like you might listen to some of me sharing or read through this passage and kind of feel the weight of, I don't even know 10% of the people in this room, and you're telling me I'm called to be responsible for one another? How does that work? And so we wanted to take a few minutes just to be able to practically speak to what does this look like within the life of a church body. So we'll talk about why this matters, and then some how. How do we pursue? What does that look like? And so, Pastor Daniel, I'd just love for you to kind of speak to the why. As we think about these things in our context right now, why do we need to be talking about this?
Sure. So, when we read through this section in Ephesians 4, I think it's one of the most critical seasons and just spirit-led timing for us as a church, because so many of the things that we are calling and equipping one another to do in the work of ministry and discipleship is costly. It's costly. It's harder. It takes longer. And honestly, within the Western church, we've kind of bypassed that historically. And so for most of us, it feels like a higher standard. Although in reality, it's just faithful discipleship. It's just church. But it feels like that. And so let me give you kind of a fun example of this. A mom reached out recently, and she has been walking through some of this stuff. And so with her kid, she was observing, and her goal was to expand on her child's trust in the Lord. Just as they kind of wrestle with anxiety and all the worries of what that would be. And the child one day is having this conversation, and the conversation kind of shifts, and it's really sincere. The mom's trying to explain it, and the child is like, well, what if this changes and you don't love me as much anymore? And the mom said, I just paused. And everything in my just natural reaction is to just assure them of how much I would love them. And I kind of started thinking, well, that's what everybody for the most part would do. But I don't want their trust to just be in me. And so because I'd been observing and because I've been working this, my answer wasn't, well, sweetie, I will love you no matter what. He said, my answer was, you will have to trust the Lord and rest in who he is. And as she's describing this back, she realizes she went from a good thing that she could have said and taught through to a better thing that pointed her child to trust in the Lord, to find her identity, her life, her hope in Jesus, and not even her. That is speaking truth in love. And the fear that I have is in our culture, one, that's so incredibly rare, although it shouldn't be. And two, if you were listening in, you would almost be offended that she didn't just immediately say, no, I'll love you no matter what. That's part of the challenge. And so what I think we have to recognize is, as a church, this thing that we're asking one another to do, it is harder, it's going to take longer, it's costly. And it doesn't really line up with the church as we know it, that has worked around the immaturity of the one another in order to try to do the work of the ministry. We have been so afraid of people walking away that we have led them to be carried away. Give you another example. Person comes up and they said, you know, it's really hard to be at Tri-Cities. I feel like church should be a place I'm encouraged, and I'm just really discouraged. And I said, well, be specific. What's discouraging you? And they said, well, I feel like I'm a bad parent when I come to Tri-Cities. And I said, well, I mean, are you pursuing the discipleship of your kids? Do you talk to them about who God is and who he's called them to be? Do you have a plan for how you're discipling them? And they go, see, no. And that's my point. Like, see, that makes me feel bad. Now think about this. Then the expectation becomes, you don't speak truth in love that would build up into Christ's likeness. You don't expose and you don't build up in order to encourage. That's the exact opposite of what we just read. And so again, in great fear of people walking away, the church has led one another to be carried away by remaining in our immaturity. And so I just want to tell you, after 25 years of pastoral ministry, I am tired of seeing people tossed to and fro. And I don't mean, listen, we think of immaturity like they're just a new convert and maybe they've, you know, they're just new in the faith. No, I'm talking about people that have been around church stuff. They've been there maybe for decades, but they're not really in their word. They're not really praying. They're not building up others. They're not being built up. And as a result, their family is a mess. Their testimony is all over the place. They are struggling as they're just tossed to and fro. And then finally, there's some catalyst event of that. And it's heartbreaking. And listen, if you've been in the church very long at all, you know what I'm talking about. And if you look around at the Western church and you can't see the evidence on the table, you're not looking. We are so immature. And why has that happened? It happened because we long for an instant result. Because maturity is intrusive. That type of transformational growth gets in your business. It takes a long time. Think of parenting. You don't expect a financial return of your three-year-old. It's not like by three, you better be paying some rent. No, it's long term. You don't think in math, we'll teach them to count and 3 days later, we'll teach them algebra. It's longer. And so, the church in the West, driven by some kind of misguided ambition, decided rather than equipping you in your maturity, rather calling you to grow and keep growing, we'll just assign ministry in these tasks and kind of work around you. And a lot of it was led by vocational pastors who on average don't even stay at one church for 5 years. So they ain't got time to wait. Church, listen. I am weary of seeing people tossed to and fro. I long for us to be faithful. I long for my daughter to grow up into a church that's goal is the full stature and measure of Jesus, that models in their hunger and in their zeal, their eagerness for the work of ministry, that they understand there is nothing apart from Jesus. And in him, there is everything. There is life. And so there is a running to him. There is a desire to grow. And so when we say to you, you are our strategy, that is a biblical thing. We look back to you and understand that Tri-City Baptist Church's work of ministry is your work. It is your ministry. It belongs to you. We are as mature as you are. It is us. And so there is no getting around that. And the church in America is paying the price for trying. And so I know it will be harder. I know it will take longer. And I know some may walk away. They walked away from Jesus. They walked away from disciples. They walked away from apostles. I know some may walk away. But as a pastor and as one of your elders, I am burdened to equip you not to be carried away. That's the why.
That's good. It's challenging. You can't help but prayerfully read through the verses we've looked out today and feel the weight and the burden that's there. And there's heaviness and hope.
That's right.
But to feel the heaviness of what this is, like, you know, we could debate on whether or not it's a good parenting strategy to teach your kids to swim by just throwing them in the pool, you know, and kind of going for it. But no good parent's going to throw their child in this pool who doesn't know how to swim and just walk away and say, they'll figure it out. We do that to one another all the time in the faith. We're so self-absorbed with what's going on in our own life, our own abiding, our own world with our family, that we aren't even aware of our opportunity and obligation to one another, that God's primary discipleship strategy for another brother or sister is you. Mm-hmm. Not just a program, not a quip, not behind the message, not another go group. It is us together pursuing each other. So do we feel that burden? Do we feel that weight? And the other side, there's hope. You know, so for some of you might be here and be like, I want to do that, but I don't know how to do that. And I feel so ill-equipped to do that. Like, I think about the Apostle Paul. I'm not the Apostle Paul. Like, I'm the Timothy. You know, how on earth can I help someone else out? And the reality is, Christ is doing the work in them through you.
That's right.
So incredible hope that's there. He who began a good work will be faithful to bring it to completion. And so let's kind of demystify the Paul Timothy. You don't have to be the Apostle Paul and know everything. Keep growing. But if you have God's word and you have the Holy Spirit and you have the body around you, you can help someone else grow. And guess what? It's not your responsibility to make them grow. That's God's work.
That's right.
He's going to do that. The question is, are we going to be faithful? So let's talk about how for just a minute. You know, there's all kinds of things we could say, and for sake of time, I won't chase a lot of those, but I do want to give you just a couple practical things. The most simple way to get started in our church is through go groups. It just really is. And when we think about go groups, I think it's really helpful to think about the family discipleship plan. So for those of you who've been around for a while, you've heard us talk about this resource we have for parents, grandparents, to help their kids love and follow Jesus. But here's what we always say, and you said it earlier. If you have a plan, you have a plan for their growth, you are living that out, your children are growing and following Jesus, you don't have to use the FDP. It's just a plan. It's just a strategy. But if you don't know where to start, you don't have a plan, and discipline's hard, instruction, all those things, why not use the resource your church has given you? Go groups work that same way. It's not the way to make disciples. The calling is, go make disciples. There are many ways you can do that. But for us as a church, that's a great place to start. And so for some of you, the next step is just to join a go group. It's to be discipled. It's to grow and pursue the word through study. It's to walk alongside of people through fellowship. It's to serve alongside of people through serving, to be built up alongside of others. For some of you, that's a really good place to start. For some of you, you're in go groups. You're pursuing alongside of others. Are you helping the people in that group grow? Are you making the group healthier? Or are you just participating? Because there's a really big difference between being on a roster or showing up for a Bible study or showing up for a fellowship group and just sitting in the room and talking every now and again versus working for the building up of those brothers and sisters. Do you know what their next step is? Are you praying for them? Are you speaking the truth and love to them? Are you helping make your group stronger in Christ? For some of you, you're there, you're in the space with people, but you're passive in that space. You're just showing up and doing the thing. You're not actively helping them keep from being tossed to and fro to build them up into Christ. It's to be intentional there. And then I think for many of us, it's to start go groups. Or discipling relationships. It's to be disciple makers. And I think we have a slide. There it is on the screen. You're going to see this a lot. For many of you, your next step is to disciple somebody. It's to go to a brother or sister in Christ, or maybe someone who's not, and say, hey, would you study scripture with me? Hey, could I help you grow in this? Hey, could we grow in this together? I'm going to study this. Would you want to go in this with me? Could we pray for one another? Could we pursue accountability? That's what a go group is. And you might say, I have no idea how to start, where to start, what that looks like, where to begin. This QR code on the slide, the one in front of you in your seat backs, if you sign up, we will help you get started. If you say, I don't know what to go through, we have the Bible and all kinds of resources on the Bible downstairs. We've got books, we've got guides, we've got training on Wednesday nights, we've got all kinds of everything you need to be a disciple maker is here. All it takes is for you saying, yes, Lord, I'll do it, I'll go. And so join a go group, help your grow group become faithful, deeper, start a go group. There's a few practical ways. What else would you encourage us to think about?
Yes, that's a way to get started. And by the way, I mean, I knew I was going to have way more to say today than I was going to have time to say. If you go online, I wrote an elder letter. You're there. You can read, and that's on this morning. You can hear a little bit more on this. But let me add a couple of things. This is life. See, part of when the Western Church has made like the work of ministry a task, it became an add-on. Listen, the work of ministry is your life. You understand? It's your life. So these are ways to get started. Yeah. They're for those of you that would go, I'm not doing that, or I don't know how, or I don't know where to start. They're first steps. The reality is the greatest portion of your work of ministry will not happen within the confines of the programs of Tri-Cities Baptist Church. They will happen where you go, in every conversation that you're in. And so let me give you some practical things. Learn the discipline to be intentional to observe others for the purpose of building them up and help them take a next step. That you see that in our process, observe. Look for one another and identify ways you can help. If I ask you right now, do you know, right now, you wouldn't make it up, but you've already thought about it. What is a next step you're trying to help your spouse grow in Christ-likeness? If you don't have that much diligence, then you have to acknowledge, man, I've got some serious room to grow. So then begin to expand that and think about your family. Think about the coworkers and maybe the 20 people you spend the most time with in your week. Have you thought through their life enough to observe them that you might help them take a next step? For us not to do that would really be just a laziness and not a work of ministry. We can agree to that. We can see that. So be intentional to observe. Second, try. Be humble enough to just try. There are resources all around, and you're hearing those. And so just as Paul said, lean in and put effort forth and try. And I think a big part of it is that. And those of you who are discipling other people and you're engaged in that process and you're growing, bring others along with you. Just coach. One of the greatest ways we'll help people add, expand, and restore is to go with them and do the thing with them. And so, again, just remind you of those things as you go. And again, I do think it's something we say, but be encouraged. The Lord is with us. He is at work. But also be mindful, the consequences are real. It is not abstract. Paul, when talking about this, acknowledges, if we don't do these things, we are tossed to and fro. And this thing is speaking truth and love that builds up the body. And it's not just given to pastors or experts, it's given to the church. And so let's mature. Let's just keep working at it, keep trying, keep growing, and pray the Lord does something in our lives.